The New Testament lesson this morning is from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12, 17. So this is Paul writing to the church there and to all of us. And he writes this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which bonds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Here is the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. Beautiful, thank you. Gospel reading is found in John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love one another." Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. Well, I'd like to talk this morning for a few moments about being formed for God's family, about fellowship. But before I do, I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this middle-aged woman who had a heart attack, and she was taken to the ER room of the hospital, and there she had a near-death experience. Her heart stopped, and she saw the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel appeared to her in that moment and said, "Don't worry, you're going to live. You're going to have 30 more years to live." The woman woke up like that and she recovered. And while she was in the hospital room, she decided, well, if she was going to live 30 more years, she might as well go ahead and have a few things done. And so she decided she'd go ahead and have a full facelift. And then she decided, well, I'm also going to have a tummy tuck. And so she got tucked and nipped and everything and all taken care of. And then she came out of the hospital and walked down the steps and started to cross the street, and she was hit and killed by a car. Instantly went to heaven, and there she saw the angel Gabriel, and she said, "Gabriel, I thought you said I had 30 more years to live." And he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you." When we think about being a family, the great thing about family is families know us and they still love us. Families know us and they still love us. And we're going through the purpose-driven life. It's a nice book. It's particularly nice because it really takes a lot of Bible verses and lays them out in a real teachable and understandable fashion. And it's great food for thought. This morning, we're looking at Form for God's Family. The first purpose we looked at is worshiping God. We're created for God's pleasure. We're to magnify God. And when we worship God, we're empowered for living. And this morning, we look at being part of the family of God, that there's fellowship that's important. And here's the takeaway, the soundbite, if you will, that Jesus commanded that we not just believe, but we also belong. Jesus commanded that we not only believe, but we also belong. And so when we look at being part of the family of God, which we are, there's really four F's. One is family, it means food, it means friendship, and it means faith. So what does it mean to be family? Now, this morning, I have on black and gold. This is my Purdue booster thing. I don't get a chance. I haven't had a chance to wear it lately because of Purdue football. The men's basketball team won 2 in a row. The women are facing the Big Ten championship today at 4 o'clock. So you can get that in before the series on the Bible. Okay, so the women are playing, so I got black and gold on. It's also my... So I'm raised in Pennsylvania, so this is my Steelers game, so not as many excitement about that. But I guess one of the reasons that we love sports, I mean, winning, and it's great to see people really playing with all their hearts and to see a team work together. But when you're in an arena, I mean, it's different than watching on TV if you're young and you're sort of dressed up maybe and you know what's going on. But when you're in an arena or you're in a football stadium and everybody is cheering together, especially there's opposing teams, I mean, there's... There's a real tension there. There's a sort of a united feeling there that's really great. And I think it's one of the reasons we go to those events, because we feel united together and something special. And our life might be up and down, we're very facing all kinds of things, but when our team wins and we're yelling together, or even sometimes if we're losing together, you feel like we're not going through it alone. Growing up in Pennsylvania, a few times I've been to some of the Steelers games, like their song, it's still their song. We are family. It's not really their song, but they adopted that song, We Are Family. You probably don't get teary-eyed when you hear that. But if when you're in the stadium, Steelers Stadium, and it gets cold there, and they don't believe in you, in Pittsburgh, they believe it's playing football in a fashion way, and it's, 10, 20 below zero, and they're playing, and they're not doing well, and they start saying, We Are Family, just gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? Maybe it's the Colts. But I like the Colts, too, but there's something about that, and certainly right now, Purdue as they face the Big Ten championship. But there's something about being part of a family that's not just sort of thick or thin, but you're there no matter what. It's like being a Cubs fan. It doesn't matter that they're not going to win the pennant this year. Right now, the beginning of the season, they're still undefeated until spring season starts. So they're starting to be part of a family. Now, for the church, there's a special word for family or fellowship in the Bible, and that word is koinonia. And you may have heard that out there because there's koinonia farms in Georgia, gotten into the English vocabulary. And koinonia is a special fellowship that means that we encourage one another, that we build each other up. And that's really part of what it means to be a Christian. And so as sisters and brothers of Christ, we come Sunday morning, and Sunday morning isn't just about music, though the music is great. And it isn't just about the message. I hope that's great, but isn't this about Bible reading? It's also about the fellowship that we have one with another, because that's special. And like regular families, we should be there for one another, whether we're in a downtime or an uptime, we're there. No matter what, we're there for one another. We pray, we encourage, we gather around together. And that is so important in life. And if you think about what Paul wrote to the Colossians there, he talks about being God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. But he goes on to say, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If there's any grievance, then forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And when we read Jesus' words to his disciples and also to us about being the vine and the branches, it isn't just that Jesus is the source of life and remaining in his love, which is the source of our love and our faith, but also that we're interconnected as other branches, and our most important connection is with Christ, but we're connected to the other branches too, and Jesus says that we are to love one another. He says that in two separate sections of that,
that we're to love one another. That's the most important thing.
That's what differentiates us from other people. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. And so we're called to be family. Sometimes that's a struggle. And if you're like me, I don't know, does anyone go to family reunions? Family reunions, it's the best and the worst. We're not doing any right now, but I grew up on the family reunions. And I always dreaded that one time it would be our turn to host the family reunion. And I'll tell you why. We have some really odd, you might find this amazing, we have some really odd people in my family. And when we're going somewhere else, that's fine because we know we're going to see Uncle Fred. Uncle Fred is just, he's so colorful and just, I mean, he's off the charts. And he always make us laugh and we think, Uncle Fred really just say that? I can't believe he said it. Because I had a grandma who was very stern and proper. And, you know, so there's proper English, and then Uncle Fred was just like the opposite. I mean, he just do things that just upset her all the time. And it was just so, it was so funny, but I would never really want in public people to know that I was related to Uncle Fred. And there's other people like that in my family. You know, these family reunions, and you just said, Mom, man, are we really related to that? Are you serious? Yep, you are. And sometimes you even act that way. You can tell. But here's the thing about family. I mean, it's rich and diverse. There's a family resemblance. God knows what that is in your family or mine, but there's a family resemblance. But here's the thing about family. Family is about unity, not uniformity. Family is about unity, not uniformity. We're not all supposed to dress the same and look the same. There's a blessed diversity in all that, just even among siblings, among brothers and sisters. We're different. There's something united about us. There's a family resemblance, but we're not all the same. We're all equal, but we're not all the same. And so when we come to church and we look at sisters and brothers in Christ, we don't have to be exactly the same. We don't have to believe exactly the same. We should major on the majors and minor on the minors. It's like Wesley said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, diversity. In all things, charity or love. And that's the way we are, sisters and brothers in Christ, that we've journeyed together in faith, and we support and encourage one another. We're not about being uniform, we're about being united. And that's special. That's special as a family of faith. And so that's really what part of that is. And then we always joke about food, because we eat good here, we've got great cooks, and it's always pleasant to come around food. But yeah, there is something special about food. Even in Acts chapter 2, very beginning of the church, it says that the people daily met and they heard the apostles teaching and they prayed and broke bread together. There's something special about that. And here's one of the things I think, I don't know all what it has to do, but part of it is when we share a meal, we share life. When we share a meal together, we share our lives together. And that's why our family is important when they eat together. Because if you begin to eat and you share things, you share life, and when we have special holidays and special celebrations, we share a meal together. I don't know how many times also in the church, there's been times where, you know, there's lots of food and fellowship, but sometimes a person gets to know the rest of the church by sharing a meal. I don't know how many times that I've been to a funeral, a memorial service, and we grieve together and we celebrate life together. And after the service, the interment service, we come back to the church or somebody's house and we have a meal together. And in that meal, there's a little healing process that takes place. We share memories, we share grief, we try to pray and lift each other up. There's something really special that happens around there. And it isn't just about food, it's that fellowship, it's that support and encouragement that we have with one another. And so the family of faith is supposed to share food together. Doesn't matter how good the food is, but the fellowship is really special that happens. Food happens to be real good here, so we like that. But fellowship is also about friendship. So it's about family, and it's about food, and it's about friendship. And Jesus says in this passage to his disciples, he said, I have called you friends. He said, no longer do I call you slaves, for a master doesn't tell a slave what he's doing. I have called you friends because I share everything the Father has shared with me. And so no greater love than this than a person lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross and Calvary, that we might know forgiveness and new life. And as a model for living and what it means to give, we'll never give at that level, but it's a model that in the fellowship that we have,
with Jesus Christ and with one another, there's something sacred there in that fellowship that shows Jesus gave everything that he had to show us his love, to show us his forgiving power, and to make possible a new life, an eternal life, both here in this world and in the world to come.
And so that models a kind of fellowship in a very, very special way. That word, too, in Colossians and elsewhere in the Bible, when Jesus says, love one another, there's about 50 times in the Bible that one another is said, sort of command to one another. But more than anything else, there's the word to encourage one another. Now, sometimes we think our ministry, or some people think their ministry is to tell you what's wrong with your life. And there's a point where a wise or a grandparent can come along or a friend can say something. But, you know, more than anything else, we're called to encourage one another. And that word in the original is parakaleo, which is the word we get paraclete from. And paraclete is the term that the Bible uses most often to refer to the Holy Spirit. So when we encourage one another, we're doing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we encourage one another, we're touching people with God's faith and God's care and God's love in a special way. And as much as the music might be on some Sunday morning, or the message, hopefully, and some other things, your word of encouragement to someone else might be the most special thing that touches their heart and life. And when we have people who are looking for the church, a lot of times they're looking not just for great music or great preaching, whatever, they're looking for a special fellowship where people really care about each other. They don't just talk about caring, but they act like a family. There's a deep commitment, a deep love that's there. And I think that's something that we see when we talk about sports teams. There's something we call synergy, which is just a fancy word that means that there's something united. There's a more united in energy when we're together than we're apart. And the idea is that the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And so there's some teams that if you sort of take all the individuals out and you just sort of put individual against individual, that they don't match up against the team. But then there are moments when that team plays together so well that they actually can defeat a team that individually has better players in each position. And the reason is that they come together as a team. And that was, some of you probably remember the United States hockey team back in the 80s. But they were really underdogs. They faced all these Eastern Bloc hockey teams that were really great. And people just thought, well, they're going to get blown out the first round. They won the first round. And then they went on all these Eastern teams, people were like, I just can't believe this team is playing like that. And then when they defeated the Soviet Union and got the gold medal, people just could not believe that the team could play like that. And the reason was, not that they were better players, they actually weren't person by person, there's some talent on the team, but not at the level they had on the other team, was that they played together so well. And that was the coach's goal. And so you and I, as a family of faith, are like that. That the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That you and I together, because we have these gifts and talents, if we work together as a family of faith and sort of a team for Christ, that we can do great things for God more than we can as individuals. And that's part of what fellowship does when we encourage and build each other up. And finally, fellowship is about faith. Fellowship is about faith. There's
a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And it says this about encouraging one another, and it uses the term build each other up, which I really like. It's a great metaphor. And actually, the word that's actually used is to build, like a building on a foundation. And so the idea is that we build each other up, we strengthen each other, we sort of fortify the walls, and we help support one another, and we give a great foundation, and that's what the church does. We're to build each other up, not just the young people, which is real important, that we should nurture the people along in faith, but we also encourage each other in the adversity and trials and difficulties in life and make that a special thing in our life, the focus of our life. There's much about faith that you can look at and say there's a moment in someone's life where they gave their heart to Christ and they committed their life and accepted God's forgiveness. And there's some of us too that have sort of come along in the faith, and it's like faith was not taught so much, but caught, if you will, just by being in the house of God. I had a friend, and he had a friend who, at a young age, he lost his wife. And he was a young African-American male with three kids. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He was a working father with these three kids. And my friend said, listen, go join a church where it has lots of things for the youth and for you. And he said, well, I don't know about that. He said, I'm not really a believer. He said, forget about being a believer for right now. He didn't care about the kids. Get the kids in some place where people are going to support them. You can't meet all the family, the kids. Your family's far away. There's no one here. You get a member of that church. You get the kids there for the activities. And by the way, they'll probably take care of you too. He did exactly that. He joined a church with lots of activities, wasn't a believer, a lot of questions about faith, but over the years, because people loved his kids and there were women came around and cared for his kids, some like mothers and grandmothers, and there were people who nurtured him along the faith, and one day he said, you know what? He said, I don't know what happened, but I'm a believer now. And it wasn't a message of one universe of life, it was just people cared about it along the way of life and cared for kids, and they were really family. And that's what it is to build one another up and to take on the ministry of the Holy Spirit is encouraging one another to take seriously Jesus' admonition and challenge to love one another. Doesn't mean we're perfect, nor will we ever be, but as family, there's something special that's there. And so it's not just about believing, it's also about belonging. And that's really what baptism is about sort of publicly saying, I'm part of the church, I'm part of the family of faith. And just like a wedding ceremony is two couples committing their life to each other, baptism is about committing our life to the church. And so fellowship is an important part of our purpose, part of being family, and part about food is important, friendship and faith is important. And that's a challenge to us this morning. I'd like to close with this illustration. Mitch Allan was a young man, very bright, success-driven, sort of an elite school. And when he was in college, there was a professor by the name of Maury who really took a liking to him. He was a great mentor, a great teacher, one of the special people in his life. And Mitch went on to sort of struggle with success as a journalist, was a workaholic, ended up getting a divorce, and his life was kind of broken. He met some success along the way with a best-selling book, but then he found out that his professor by the name of Maury had terminal cancer. He had always wanted to visit his professor again and hadn't done it. So he said, I'm going to go ahead and do that in New York City. And so he went to visit his professor and they had a great conversation. And he said, boy, I'm so sad that you're going to pass away and you're so important. He said, well, let's take Tuesdays and meet every Tuesday. Come what may. And just sort of mentor. Let me talk to you. And so he did it. When Tuesdays sometimes were longer and shorter, and he wrote a book called Tuesdays with Maury, which is about sort of walking with his professor through his last days of life and being mentored by that professor because he got more out of it than the professor did. And he writes this, saying what Maury was saying, that I think in light of what we've been talking about these weeks, family becomes even more important. The fact is there's no foundation, no secure ground upon which people may stand today if it isn't family. It's become quite clear to me as I've been sick. If you don't have the support and love and caring and concern that you get from a family, you don't have much at all. Love is so supremely important. As our great poet Auden said, love each other or perish. Love each other or perish. I wrote that down. Love each other or perish, Maury said. It's good, no? It's so true. Without love, we are birds with broken wings. Say I was divorced or living alone or had no children. This disease, what I'm going through, would be so much harder. I'm not sure I could do it. Sure, people would come to visit, friends, associates, but it's not the same as having someone you know will not leave. It's not the same as having someone whom you know has an eye on you, is watching out for you the whole time. This is part of what family is all about. Not just love, but letting others know there's someone who is watching out for them. It's what I missed so much when my mother died. What I call your spiritual security. Knowing that your family will be there watching out for you. Nothing else will give you that. Not money, not fame. And he shot me a look. Not work, he added. So true. Being part of a family is special. Being part of a family of faith is extra special too. But we ought not take that for granted. Both need to appreciate the support and encouragement that Sunday school teachers and sisters and brothers in Christ have for us, and we should be challenged that we would show that same kind of support and nurture and encouragement to others, be they sisters and brothers or young boys and girls. Everybody needs to be encouraged along the way of life because that's how God planned it. God even refers to himself as family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from the beginning of time, family was there. God's ordained that for you and I, sisters and brothers in Christ, we're part of God's family.
I'd like to just close with this little meditation from Max Lucado about God being our Heavenly Father and loving us so much, which is so important to being family. It's entitled, God is Crazy About You. It takes out from Matthew 10, verse 30. God even knows how many hairs are on your head. And he writes this, there are many reasons God saves you, to bring glory to himself, to appease his justice, to demonstrate his sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons God saved you is because he's fond of you. He likes having you around. God thinks you are the best thing to come down the pike in quite a while. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring. At a sunrise every morning, whenever you want to talk, he will listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, but he chose your heart. Face it, friends, he's crazy about you. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we come together this day as a family of faith, and we have weaknesses and frailty, but we have the strength of being bonded together, because together we're stronger than apart. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another, to build each other up, to be there through thick and thin, to challenge each other, but also to encourage one another. In all things, may we be bound together in love and find our source of love in you, through your power and to your glory. Amen.